Now, in this week's Czech History, we look at the phenomenon of cross-border agents, people employed by Western intelligence services to cross the frontier during the early days of the Czechoslovak communist regime to gather information, create networks, and bring back chosen individuals. Some crossed the border many times. Some were caught on the first attempt. For some, the transient phenomenon helped launch them into a new life. For others, heroic and not-so-heroic acts ended with treachery, death, and long terms of imprisonment. Chris Johnstone has this week's Czech History.
That was an excerpt from the 1959 communist adventure film Král Šumavy, or King of the Šumava, which highlights the heroic efforts of security police and guards to prevent the infiltration of the Czechoslovak border by Western agents. By the time the film was released, the phenomenon of cross-border agents, or agenti chodci in Czech, was largely over. The border had been fenced and electrified, and for Western intelligence services at least, the Cold War had moved on. But the film was broadly based on true events. For a few years from the early days of the communist regime in Czechoslovakia after February 1948 until the end of 1951, cross-border agents were a real factor in the developing struggle between Western and Eastern blocs as they faced the possibility that growing antagonism would lead to open war. Prokop Tomek is an historian at Prague's Military History Institute who has co-authored a recent book about those agents who were captured by the security services and executed. He puts the phenomenon into context.
Western intelligence services prepared the situation for war, and they must provide the information about army structure, about the also civil structure, because Czechoslovakia and other countries of East Europe were completely closed. Yes, censorship, the traveling between blocks were mostly stopped. So every information also about, for example, maps, about the newspapers, for example, goods which is provided and sell in Czechoslovakia, all very simply things, simply information were useful for future possible war. So it was the main purpose of these operations.
For the Western intelligence services, above all the Americans and British, and to a lesser extent the French, there was a ready reserve of possible agents to pick from. These were made up of the many Czechs and Slovaks who had begun to flee their homeland even before the communists took power, and the many more who followed once their worst fears had been confirmed. Conditions in the camps for refugees in a country still recovering from war and under foreign military control made it easy to sign up recruits, with the promises of some pay or a smoother passage to the West. Prokop Tomek again.
These people were recruited in refugee camps in Germany. One reason for their activities was also the possibility to get some advantage for traveling to United States and Australia or Canada, and because in refugee camps were a lot of people, and living conditions there were quite poor.
So material needs and the hopes of a fast track to a new future probably played a big part in getting the agents on board. For the most part, these agents were men, although some were women. They were mostly in their 20s and 30s. They were usually in good physical shape and in some cases had already marked themselves out by their ability to improvise or get out of a tight situation. Casting them as committed heroes, or as the communists like to do, as slavish villains, was probably often wide of the mark.
We can't firmly say that somebody was a freedom fighter. his activities were only ideologically fighting for freedom and democracy in Czechoslovakia. These people also were guides for refugees to the West and for some salary, of course, and some smuggled goods or bring some messages from the families, the refugees, and back.
Cigarette paper, cigarettes, and semi-precious stones from Czechoslovakia were some of the items that could be bought across the border and sold in Germany for a profit. As he readily admits, Mr. Tomek's account of the 42 cases where agents were caught and executed actually represents a somewhat slanted cross-section of the agents themselves. The communist regime often ordered the highest penalty for former border guards, security police, or former members of the party with working-class backgrounds because of the betrayal it felt for their later action. Other death penalty victims were proved to have passed sensitive information, tried to defend themselves with firearms, or were just unlucky enough to be up for punishment when the regime wanted an exemplary sentence. There was also another fundamental factor at the time. The border, or rather borders, while being made more secure by the communist regime, were far from watertight. Crossing the often forested borders directly to Germany, Austria, or even through East Germany to West Berlin was risky, but was not a suicide mission, especially for those who knew the layout of the land and had been across a few times. The Iron Curtain was at this stage neither iron nor a curtain, just a frequently controlled, mostly forested area.
In period 1948 till 1951, it was quite not easy, but it was possible to go through because there were only guards, and the new communist regime wasn't able to establish so sophisticated system. There were not only cross-border agents, but also about 20,000 of refugees in this period, 1948 till 1951, to West. But since 1952 till 60s, there were only a few people who escape, like the refugees, to West through these green borders.
At this stage, the intelligence and counterintelligence efforts of both sides look pretty amateurish, like a bad plot from a spy thriller by the author John le Carré. The agents seem to have been given little schooling in the arts of spying or intelligence, although they were expected to gather sensitive information, for example on arms production, and develop their own networks for later use. As far as weapons go, they were usually given a pistol and grenades, the minimum for their own self-protection. Often those crossing the frontier took a train for most of the distance before getting off at the last stop before the frontier or a bit earlier for the final stretch on foot. One agent gave himself away when he opened fire at the train station, only to find out that the person he suspected was the security police was just an ordinary citizen. In another case, an agent only attracted suspicion on himself because the cover name he had been given was already on the police wanted list. He was lucky enough on this occasion to come out with a civilian camouflage in his cell and walk out of the secret police headquarters in Prague.
It looks like these operations were not very well prepared, and people who were cross-border agents were victims of this war. We know about 40 people who were sentenced to death for these operations. Hundreds of people were jailed for a very long time, about life sentences or 25 years of jail. Thousands of people who provided help for these people, for these agents, on Czechoslovak territory. It was very hardly punished. To help the resistance.
Even so, there were some agents who stood out for their daring and skill. One such was Stepan Gavenda, a partisan in World War II who first clashed with the Czechoslovak security police in April 1948 for helping Sudeten Germans cross the border illegally. He had by then formed a relation with a Sudeten German woman in Czechoslovakia. His smuggling activities brought him to the attention of the US intelligence services, who recruited him later in the same year.
This was a man who was very gifted for such activities. He crossed borders 30 times and guided to, dozens of refugees to the West and provided a lot of information. Also, three times he escaped from jail. One time from very safe jail Leopoldov in Slovakia. This man, for example, is really like the Rambo story. But it's true. It's real story.
He was eventually caught by Soviet and East German soldiers in the late 1952 and handed over to the Czechoslovak authorities. By that time, the frontier and its stepped-up security had made it a much more dangerous place to be, even for this tried and experienced operator. Gavenda was also caught once because a Czechoslovak security police informant infiltrated the agent's network. By the mid-1950s, the most popular route was through East Germany to Berlin, because there were no fences or barriers there, and it was easy to go to West Berlin and from there on to the West. But even here, the writing was on the soon-to-be-built wall.
That was Chris Johnstone ending that edition of Czech History.